What we're going to do...
Recording in progress.
If you'll go over with me to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, passage we want to read here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse 1, but in particular we're going to notice a comment in verse 5. So 2 Timothy 4, 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. By the way, those are two different judgments. His appearing, that's his appearing for us, and his kingdom, that's the second coming. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And then verse 5, notice he says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let's unite our hearts in prayer as we get started tonight. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you once again for the time that we can study your word. And even though we're not physically together in the same location, most of us, with each other, but we are one with each other in as members of the church, the body of Christ. And we ask that as we continue along the theme of evangelism and sharing the gospel with people, that we would, as your ambassadors, make sure that we are equipping ourselves for that very ministry and work. And we'll thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, what we're going to do tonight, we are continuing to talk about the theme of evangelism. We've spent a number of weeks already on understanding the gospel, how to present the gospel, creating a format for the gospel, what to emphasize on the gospel, and then we have spent some time on how to answer objections, how to talk with people, things like that. And what we began to look at last Wednesday night, was the question about what is it that distinguishes biblical Christianity from every other system of belief that is out there. And when you think of the major systems of belief that are out there, when I say major, I mean that would have, you know, huge populations that hold to them. So we're not talking about fringe, offshoot type of things specifically, but some of the biggest major systems of belief that are out there, you think of Islam, you think of Judaism, you think of Hinduism, Confucianism, things like that, a lot of Eastern stuff, pantheism, and then supposedly Christian religions, you would have things like Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholics, but that's kind of a broad umbrella to put them under and so forth. And so what we're talking about now is that what are some of the main distinguishing doctrines between biblical Christianity and every other system that's out there. Now, the purpose of looking at this is that you can see at 2 Timothy 4:5, you see the instruction, it says, do the work of an evangelist. What is an evangelist? What does that mean? Who wants to tell us what that means? Neil, what does that mean? You want to tell us what that means?
Well, just somebody who's preaching the gospel and trying to bring people into the into the church and they use that term for other things as well, right? But just kind of bringing people in.
Yep, exactly. That the idea of an evangelist is sharing the good news for the purpose of bringing people into Christ. Des typed in soul winning. Don typed in planting God's word, like planting seeds, winning others to Christ. Exactly, evangelism, just getting the word out there. You'll recall of course, look at 1 Corinthians 3. Thanks, Neil. By the way, everybody's got to be on the toes because you never know when I'm going to call on you, right, Lucia? Yeah, right? Okay, so, right, Mirovic? Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so look over to 1 Corinthians 3 and notice it says here at verse 6, it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God gave but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. See that? Look at that, verse 9, we're laborers together with God. That means God's laboring. God's at work. We're laborers together with him. We are his mouthpiece, right? We are members of his flesh and of his bone. We are his body. And so whenever we're getting the gospel out to people, different aspects of the gospel, different particular doctrines, things like that, we're laboring with God. That's exactly what's happening. And then one's planting, one's watering, and then God gives the increase when someone believes the word of God. By the way, didn't you guys love that illustration that Brian Ross used on his second message about in relationship to sharing the gospel? He said, imagine that you, with baseball, they have pitchers. So you have your starting pitcher, and maybe that starting pitcher goes through, you know, the first opening inning, maybe to the fourth inning. Then you have the middle relief pitcher, then maybe he gets inning, you know, 5 through 8. And then you have your closer that comes in at inning 9 or that kind of thing. And his point is the illustration, I thought it was fantastic, his illustration that in sharing the gospel with someone and that person getting saved, you don't know whether you're the starting pitcher, the middle relief, or the closing pitcher. You never know that in relationship to sharing the gospel with someone. I love that illustration. That's so cool. You know, but you know you're pitching. You're pitching on the winning team. You're on God's team. So pitch, man. Pitch that ball. Throw the strikes as it were. Okay? And those of you that love baseball or football or hockey, yeah. What's the famous statement that Wayne Gretzky made? You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. Don't you love that? You know, so whatever illustration you want to use, just, man, plant and water, just trust God to give the increase kind of a thing. And so in talking about the gospel, we're at the point where we're comparing what are the things that things that clearly separate biblical Christianity from all other systems of belief that are out there. And the point of this study from last week and today, and it'll take us a couple weeks to go through this, and the reason I made this list, my purpose tonight and next week and so forth, is not to go into a deep dive of each of these doctrines. On the email, I think I sent 7. All right. Last week I listed 5, and then some people, we had like 5 or 6 additional that added. I kind of combined some together. My purpose is not to do a deep dive on each of these topics. The purpose is for each of us as ambassadors, as laborers together, is from this list here to develop talking points to get ourselves prepared as evangelists, as it were, just to prepare for the work, as it were. You never know when the opportunity is going to present itself and surprise you. All of a sudden you go, wow, I got to talk with someone about the gospel today. But you also want to be prepared to go out and surprise someone else by talking to them about the gospel. You always want to be ready, instant in season and out of season. So the reason that we're looking at these, the purpose of looking at these things is not to take a deep dive on each of these things, but simply to develop talking points. So I want you to create from each of these points your own way to present this to someone. All right? Now, so let's, for example, look at the first one on the list here. The first one on the list here that key talking points that distinguish biblical Christianity from all other systems of belief. And I mentioned this last time, that the one that has to be, without question, first, top of the list, the nature, the person, and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's unique in every way, as it were. They're the God-man. And that there's no one else in history like him. There never has been, there never will be. He absolutely is unique. So what we want to think about when we're talking about this topic right now is, okay, how could I say that to someone that you're trying to open a conversation with them, or a conversation has been opened about, well, why, I hear you're a Christian, why should I believe in Christianity? Isn't Christianity just another religion? And so you'll have these various talking points to convey the claims of Scripture as to what does make it unique. Listen, you're not necessarily in these talking points, you're not necessarily at that point trying to persuade the person. You'll get there. But at this point, you're simply trying to present, well, here's what Scripture says about this. Here's what the Bible does say about the Savior. And no other book says this about their, whoever their Savior is. The Bible says very clearly that God became a man for the purpose of dying for man's sins, to bring sinful man back to himself. No other religious system makes that claim. God, the unique member of the Godhead, not just one of the gods, but God became a man to die for man's sins, to bring man, to redeem man back to God. Something as simple as that. You can say that in about 15 seconds. And what you're doing, you're just planting seeds. You're seeing if you can create a situation that will bring about in that person you're talking with another question. You're seeking to maybe have a little bit of an open door for the conversation. Maybe they might say, well, what do you mean God became man? How can that be? Well, yeah, how can that be? That's a good question, by the way. How can that be? All right. Now, let me give you some verses at a minimum you would want to have access to. You would want to be able to find these, and especially if you can sit down with that person and show them a couple of verses, show them the Scripture. Let the Scripture do the work. Don't worry about you trying to convince someone. Let the Scripture do the work. You've heard the old saying, you don't need to defend the lion. Just open the cage where the lion's at. Right? The lion will defend himself. Okay? Just open the door and let him out. Okay? So we don't need to defend the Bible. Just preach the Bible. Just let the Bible do the work. So look with me over to John chapter number 1. Look over to John in chapter number 1. So this is going to be, you're just seeking to create a talking point, a point of discussion. You're not trying to convince that person. You're not trying at this point to necessarily persuade that person. You're just answering the question, well, what is it that distinguishes biblical Christianity from all these other systems of belief that are out there? Well, one is God became a man to die for man, to bring us back to God. Well, that's interesting. What do you mean? Well, can I show you in the Scripture what I mean by that? So then a couple of passages to look at. Of course, everybody, you know, already in your notes, you should have John 1:1, right? John 1:1, and then John 1:14. You want to have these readily available. And, of course, you want to use your King James Bible if at all possible. And by the way, if you have your cell phone, or if they have your cell phone, then you have a King James Bible. You just go right online, punch it in, and pull your King James Bible up, period. Okay? But look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and then notice the Word is capital there, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that's the claim of Scripture. When you're reading that verse, don't worry about defending the Scripture. Don't worry about it. That's not the point here. just say this is what Scripture is claiming. This is what it says. You didn't say what it says. You just said what it said. That's all. Right? So if they have trouble with what it says, remember, the trouble is not with you. You're saying, well, that's what it's making a very clear statement about the person of who the Savior is. He was God. He was eternal God with God the Father. And then at verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word, who, whenever the beginning was, the Word was already there. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So that eternal being became a man. See that? That's pretty radical, don't you think? That's pretty significant. So God became a man. He didn't cease to be God, though. The God-man. You see that? He was fully God and fully man. That's the point you're trying to convey. Fully God and fully man. Let's look at some additional verses to kind of have in your notes here to demonstrate, to further prove that the claim that the Bible makes about the person that you and I know as the Lord Jesus Christ, that he truly was God who became a man. Let's look at some additional verses. There are a whole bunch, but we're only going to look at a few more. You, in your own personal study time, you can kind of fill these in. But you'll want to be able to point to, say, one or two or three verses that demonstrate the claim of Scripture. You're not trying to defend Scripture when you're presenting this. You're just saying, well, here's what it claims here, all right? So look over to John chapter 8. Here's another one. John chapter number 8. Now, this one here, you might need to take a moment or so to give a little bit of background depending on the person that you're talking to and their knowledge of the Bible. If they have no knowledge at all, you'll need to give them a little bit of background. If they have some knowledge of the Old Testament, then you'll be able to maybe build upon that. And you'll see in a moment why I say that. Here the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you look over to John chapter number 8, John chapter number 8, and it says verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. In that verse, Jesus Christ is claiming to be, I am, the eternally existent one. In claiming to be the I am, he's claiming to be the God that spoke to Moses in the book of Exodus. And that would be the connection to make. Maybe the person you're talking to has a little bit of background about the Old Testament, so that's the link you're making there. That you're saying Christ here is claiming to be the God that spoke to Moses when he got Israel out of Egypt in the book of Exodus. If the person you're speaking to doesn't have any background knowledge at all of the Old Testament, you can still convey that information. Is that in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, God brought Israel out of Egypt. He rescued Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And God, when he appeared to Moses, is the man who he sent to deliver Israel out of Egypt. God appeared to him by that name, I am that I am. Jesus Christ is claiming to be that person, that God back there that spoke to Moses. So you see how you're making the connection. And the point you're trying to make is that in Christ claiming to be I am there, he's claiming to be God. He's absolutely claiming to be God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That is the eternal, almighty God. Okay? Let's look at another one here. Look at Hebrews and chapter number 1. Go to Hebrews chapter number 1. We're just going to I'm going to look at a few of these verses. Write these down in your notes. These you'll have these available. So in your talking points, if you have a little bit more time to demonstrate from Scripture that the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ is he is both God and man, when he became man, he doesn't cease to be God, then these would be a few more verses that you could use, depending on how much time you have with that person. and how much of an open door that you have. All right, that kind of a thing. It might be that you only have a couple of minutes, and so you show them John 1:1, John 1:14, and they're kind of interested, but maybe they can't talk more right then and there. Say, would you like to talk a little bit further? And they say, well, yeah. Well, get their phone number, get their contact information, and so forth, and set up a time. Okay, can we talk on the phone? That's all you're doing. Okay, look at this one in Hebrews and chapter number one. Look at Hebrews chapter number 1, verse 8. Hebrews 1, 8. It says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, you see in verse 8 that God the Father calls the Son God. That's the point. So the person who became flesh, who in history is named Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, God the Father thinks he's God. That's the claim of Scripture. So he's the God who became a man. Okay? So you want to have that one written down. Look over to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. And remember, at the point of conversation with this person you're talking to, your point is not to try to defend the verses. That's not the point. Don't feel like you have to. No, you're just reading the verses. You're just showing them what the verses claim. Because what you're doing is you've presented a talking point about what distinguishes biblical Christianity from every other system that's out there. And point number one is the nature of this person, Jesus of Nazareth. He's different than, there's no one like him, according to Scripture, right? Look over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter number 5. And if you look at verse 7. 1 John 5, 7. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father. You see the next one? The Word. And the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. By the way, don't be afraid to use that verse. Right? I know the new translations leave it out and so forth. I know there's a bunch of discussion about that verse. So what? Don't be afraid to use that verse. That verse is in the Word of God. That verse is Scripture. So don't let anybody talk you out of using that verse. Use that verse. You're showing them what the verse says. That's what you're doing. You're using the Word of God to let the Word of God do the work of God. And what a great that verse that is there, that when it says these three are one, the triune nature of the Godhead, you've got the Father, the Word, and, of course, you have the Holy Ghost there. Okay? Look over to Philippians chapter 2. This is another one. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians and chapter number 2. This is one of my favorite here. Philippians chapter number 2, and it's going to be verses 6 and 7, and we'll also use this section here for another one of these talking points. Well, look at Philippians 2, but I'm actually going to go back to verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So if it wasn't robbery for him to think he was equal with God, then he must be equal with God. See that there? But made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. See, God became a man. You see how clear that is there? So if you have a few minutes, just say, well, look at this verse. He clearly was God, and he was found in fashion as a man. Okay? So you want to maybe have that one to your list. Now, from a different angle, look over to Matthew 8. Look over to Matthew chapter number 8. Look over to Matthew chapter number 8. Now, in Matthew chapter number 8, this one would take a few more minutes if that person gives you some time for a little bit further or more verses to read. This will take a couple of more minutes here, all right? But look over to Matthew 8, and we're going to jump to verse 23. It says, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Now, here it is. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? You see, this is approaching this from a different angle. You could ask that person, is there any man that's ever been able to command with his mouth to speak and the winds and the sea obey him ever in history? The answer is no. So this is unique. This doesn't happen every day. So there's something different about this person. And when they ask the question here, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Well, it must be the man whose mouth created the winds and the sea in the first place. Isn't that amazing? So again, it's from a little bit of a different angle to present that, wow, that Jesus Christ is different than any other man that's ever, ever, ever lived. No system of belief out there has the man, Christ Jesus. And they don't claim to, by the way. They claim to have great prophets. They claim to have great spiritual gurus. They claim to have people that get information from God and things like that. No one has Jesus Christ. No one has the person of the Lord Jesus Christ except the Bible, except the Word of God. Absolutely unique. Okay? All right, time for a test. Time for a test. Who wants to volunteer for this test in front of the whole audience here? You're in front of the whole wide world. Okay, well, not the whole wide world, a few people. Okay, David. Here we go. We're gonna do a role play right now. Okay? We're gonna do role play on this first talking point. By the way, that tells everybody we're gonna do a role play on each of these talking points. Okay, we won't get to all these tonight, obviously. But we're gonna do a role play. We're gonna address the first talking point only. That's all I want you to do at this point. So let's pretend, David, that I'm at a gas station and you're at a gas station, and we're kind of on the opposite side of the islands of the same pump, okay? And we happen to notice each other, and I'm the guy, you're the believer, all right? And you don't know me from anybody. We've never met before, but, you know, I seem like a lost guy going to hell. I look pretty bad, and I need to be saved, right? You look at me and say, man, that guy's going to hell for sure, okay? And you're, no, I'm just joking. But the point is, you don't know him from anybody, all right? And we're going to strike up a conversation, and let's just say that I happen to know, let's say that you have a bumper sticker on your car, and it's got a cross or something like that, whatever. Let's say I strike up a conversation after we, hey, how you doing? How's your day going? Hey, I noticed you got... And so I'll bring up a question, and I want you to bring up this key talking point, this first one, just about what we looked at tonight here so far, just to kind of see if we can open the door with this. That's all. Does that make sense? How we're gonna role play this?
Okay. Yes. The first scripture, the first
Yeah, just the first point about the person of Christ, how, yeah, that's, yeah, there's no other system like that. Kind of a kind. And my question to you, it'll set the stage pretty simply, okay? All right, so we're at the gas station there. Hey, how you doing there? Looks like it's pretty nice weather out today. The rain was here, but it's kind of gone now.
Yes, the weather is. Now, I'm the person that you're witnessing to, or I've been made a witness to you.
Yeah, I'm the lost guy going to hell. You're trying to get me stuff, okay? Okay, yeah.
I needed to know which side I was on.
Exactly, yeah. Well, just look at this face and you can tell that guy's going to hell for sure, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so hey, how you doing? We finally got some good weather out of the pouring down rain and everything.
Yeah, man, you know, sometimes it's cloudy, sometimes it's rainy, sometimes God, he has different types of weather, and sometimes we have different circumstances in life, but you know something, it doesn't matter, God is able to bring us through, just like he cleared up this weather for us, man. That's the kind of God we serve.
You know, can I ask you a question about that? I mean, obviously we've never met before, but you kind of talk about God right away and everything, and you seem to think that you believe that, you know, he, I guess, has control of the weather. Are you like a Christian or something or what?
Well, yes, I am. And I tell you, you know, there's been some storms in my life. And the weather was pretty bad at one point. And, man, I thought I was going to drown as a result of it.
Huh.
And, you know, I just called God and I just turned to God, actually. You know, it's almost like you're in a storm and there's no way out, and you just have to try something, man. Try family, try friends, try everybody, and nobody could help me. Sometimes, like when you're in the weather in a storm like this here, you know, like we've had the other day, man, you caught in it, it just looked like you're not going to make it through. But God has a way of bringing us through these storms of life. It doesn't matter how difficult it is.
Well, let me ask you this, because I...
I've
been through some kind of, I guess, like you'd say, storms myself.
Mm-hmm.
But, and, you know, hear a lot of people, different beliefs and everything.
Yeah.
What's different about what you believe from any other thing out there? I mean, why would someone adopt what you believe compared to some other system of belief?
Well, yeah, our God, the God that I believe in, is a personal God, and he's a living God. Most of the other systems, you know, they have different worship, but their God is not a living God. My God is a living God. He died for my sins, and when I found out that I can trust him for life, for everlasting life, even everlasting life, he died for my sins, he rose, and he lived and he rose for my justification. So he became really personal in my life, and so much so that I rely on him for my strength, my hope, my help, my peace, my joy. And I find that he's able to bring all those things into your life if you put your trust in him. If you really believe that he died.
But you don't mind if I ask you a couple of questions about that, do you?
Oh, I mean, go right ahead.
I'm not trying to be unkind or anything, but
as no problem at all. But go ahead. I'll be glad to answer it.
But you said something about that your God died for your sins. How can God die and for sins? What do you how does that happen?
Well, we all were born in sin and we needed someone, a savior. And the God that created all things, he knew that we needed something more than we were able to produce ourselves. And so, you know, to make a long story short, we lost our place with God a long time ago. It's a story back in the book of Genesis. I don't want to hear the whole story, but we were separated from God, and God knew he needed to bring us back to him. And so the only price he could pay, man, was giving his own son, his son who is God, part of the Trinity is God himself. So he sent his son to die, to pay the price, to buy us back so that we could still be in right standing, be part of his family. So yeah, the God we serve died for us, but more than that, he rose again from the grave by the power of the God who created all that you see and all that it is. And if you go to faith in that,
I'll have to, I finished filling up my tank. I'm going to have to get going, but I got to think about some of these things. It kind of seem a little out there, but thank you for, thank you for telling me these things. I'll have to think about them,
Yeah, get you a good King James Bible, and if you start reading, you can read, start with the Book of Romans, and just kind of read through that and let the Spirit of God minister to your heart, and he'll show you some things.
I ask you something.
Make it like this.
Yeah, and I do have to go, but what's a King James Bible and what's a Book of Romans? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, the King James Bible is the Word of God, the inspired Word of God that he inspired upon men to write the tale of this salvation plan, this redemption plan of purchasing us and bringing us back into his family so that he could be our God and our Father. That's the book you need. It is the instruction book for understanding God's Word and who God is and what God has done for us. And if you get one of them and start reading it, you will know more about it. The Book of Romans is a book, just look through it, you'll find it in the New Testament. Romans is easy to remember, and it's a book that kind of gives you some understandings of who we are in Christ Jesus.
All right, well, listen, I got to run. My kid's got a baseball game and everything, but what was your name again?
I'm David, man.
David, I'm John.
Here's my number. If you'd like to just give me a call to talk a little more about it, and we'll just talk about it. Maybe have some lunch and just maybe talk over some of the things. I can tell you more of what God has done for me, and it would be very encouraging to you. So, hey, just give me a call.
All right, David. Good to meet you. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Everybody, get David a hand there. Good man. Okay. Kind of gave him a hard time, didn't I? So.
Thanks to David. I'm encouraged by all that. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Any other feedback or input? Any thoughts on that brief conversation there?
Yeah, that was great. He referenced Romans instead of giving them like John 1:1 or anything like that. Because I don't think you didn't act like you were doing anything. So
one thing to keep in mind. Especially in how that conversation went, try to get the contact information from the person and you do the following up. Don't expect that person to do the follow up with you.
Good.
You do the following up.
Good.
Just when he says, well, what's a King James Bible and Romans, I have no idea what you're talking about. Right then, something like along there said, tell you what, what's the possibility? Can I maybe get your number? I'll text you more information. Maybe we could sit down. I love the way you said it. Maybe we'll sit down and have lunch. Mm-hmm. We have a cup of coffee and talk about it. Something like that. You be the evangelist. You get the contact information and ask permission. Hey, did you want to talk about this further? Especially when the guy said something like, I'll have to, that's kind of out there. I never heard that stuff before. Maybe at that point you say, well, is this something you'd like to maybe check out a little further? Ask the question and see if the person says yes. And then there's, well, what if we did this? And then you can maybe ask, could I email you? Something like that. Okay? Any other feedback or on that conversation, that interaction right there?
I've actually had that happen to me.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I've had that happen to me at a gas station, and the way I started the conversation was, did you get a receipt? And he said, no, I didn't. I said, well, there's someone that paid the price, and here's the receipt. And I showed him the word. The receipt is that he paid the price. So a person, I think going to the allegories maybe, or something that, that they can relate to in the world in today. Helps because they can relate to it. For example, like a receipt, you know, and I actually had the receipt printed out from the guest, Anita, and I said, here's my receipt. It's been paid in full. And I said, Christ has paid that receipt in full. And of course, I have to understand what level they're at. First
yes.
of all.
Yeah.
And if they already have a
feel for what they're, exactly, that's
and
very
good. Yeah, like, so yeah, and if you started with, I'm not a Christian, then yeah, I think the proper response would be, like, I would say, you know, I remember, I say, man, you think you're going to heaven when you die? And they might say, well, yeah, I'm a good person.
Yeah.
And I would say, well, let me ask you, can I ask you some questions? And then, of course, I would bring their conscience to convict them. Because I would say, you know, God demands us, man, we got to be perfect. And to get to heaven, man, it would have to be, you have to be perfect. I said, are you perfect? Oh, no, I'm nowhere near it. And when you agree with them that you're not either, then it's not like you're trying to be better than they are. So I say, well, I'm not either, but I know a person who is perfect.
Yes.
And then you can lead them to Christ.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, then they get their attention. And then, of course, their attention span's real short. You know, if they're pumping gas, they're not going to stay long.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
You know, once they're done, they're done. But so I have a YouTube channel, and I have so I'm trying to mix what I do with fishing and then evangelize in my fishing. So I said, check out one of my YouTube channels and watch, and then I'll bring out the gospel, and if you believe it, you're saved. Now, I know that's a stretch, but I mean, you got to take advantage of every moment you can. And
yes, exactly, yeah.
But what really got him was the receipt, because I had the receipt in my hand, and I said, Christ paid the receipt.
That's
so
excellent.
And he'll never forget that. He'll never forget that receipt.
Yes.
You know, but, every time he gets
he might even
get a receipt.
He'll
think about it. He'll witness.
Yeah, he paid. And then I walked into the store, and I got to witness to the clerk, because she goes, would you like your receipt? I said, I already have it.
That's excellent. By the way, your point about mentioning your website, and then you share the gospel there, that actually is a great tool, because it demonstrates Christianity is part of life. It's real.
Yeah.
Sure, you fish, but you share the gospel. But
yeah.
You work.
It's not religion. It's not religion.
It's part of your life.
It's not me trying to build my works. It's not me showing off. I'm not wearing this religious robe. I'm not wearing this collar with this white stitch around my... Well, I'm not trying to be holy. You know, I'm being a genuine, and they appreciate for a person that is genuine without going overboard.
Very good. All right, let's see. Any other volunteers? We're going to try to stay on this first point here about the person of Christ. Any other volunteers? Anybody want to raise their hand? Come on, let's have someone, a brave soul here. Nathan. Okay, Nathan's up, right? All right, here we go. So let's do a similar type of a situation, Nathan. I'll be the unsaved guy. Let's say that we're out at the orchard there. We're picking fruit or whatever, okay, at your dad's ranch, whatever it might be, all right? And let's say that I've been working there for a couple of months, and we've just kind of known each other casually, not much at all and everything, and we just happen to be working next to each other. And I'll bring up a question, and then we can kind of go from there. But what I'd like to do is especially focus on the person of Christ, the uniqueness of Christ. And I'll kind of present the question in such a way to, and then we'll kind of have a conversation about that. Okay? Okay, very good. Here we go. Hey, Nathan, how's your day going there?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks. How's yours?
It's good. Boy, kind of been a hot one out here the last several days, picking all these peaches and everything. But, boy, man, they are just looking beautiful, ripe, and I'm sure people can't wait to taste them and everything.
Yeah, yeah. It takes a lot of work all year, but the fruit is sweet once you get here in the summer.
Amen. Yeah. I probably wouldn't say amen, by the way. Oh, yeah. Hey, can I, Nathan, you know, we've not really talked a whole lot, but you seem like a pretty serious guy, pretty upstanding kind of a guy. Can I ask you a question, kind of a spiritual related question? Because I, from what I understand, you're kind of a religious person.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there are a lot of people talking about Christianity, and in my background, I was just, you know, never really believed much of anything, but I've heard about all these religious ideas, whether it's Judaism or Islam or Hinduism, things like that. And what is it that's different about Christianity anyway, compared to, like, why did you decide to become a Christian rather than, say, something when it's not a Christian? What's different about it?
The reason I'm a Christian, it really is, it comes down to two reasons. One is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a historically proven figure, and he is the God-man. No other religion claims that God became a man, and then furthermore actually died for those men who rejected him. John 1:1 and John 1:14 says that the Word, another name for the Lord Jesus Christ, became flesh, and he dwelt among us.
Nathan, what did you mean, John? What do you mean, John?
Sorry, the Book of John is a book, one of the 66 books that make up the Bible, and it's the story. It's one of the four stories of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, from his birth up until his death and resurrection. The second reason why I'm a Christian is because Christians have something that no other religion has, and that is the Bible. And the Bible is a different book from any other book. So the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
What makes it different? Why? What's different about it?
A number of reasons, one of which it foretells the future perfectly, and it has many times, and no other book has done that. No other book has 40 different authors written over thousands of years. Many of the authors didn't know each other, and it all weaves together to make one story, all of which the centerpiece is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. Man needed to be saved because we're sinners, so he became a man to save us. And this is his book. It's about him from start to finish.
So how could... Okay, so you're saying that one of the things that, not only as to why you decided to become a Christian, but what makes Christianity different is that God became a man. But how does he do that? I mean... isn't that kind of weird? How does that actually happen?
Yeah, I gotta admit, it is kind of weird. But how it happened, the claims of the Bible about it are that that it says he put on flesh. There was a miraculous conception with Mary, of course, and he was born as a human being. He had no human father, but he was born as a human being, and then he lived the perfect life, kept the law perfectly, therefore he was the perfect sacrifice for a perfect God with a perfect justice system, and he paid God's justice for my sin and for your sin and for the sin of the world. He paid God's justice for us because we couldn't pay it ourselves. And the claims of the scripture also that he was buried and that he rose again. No other religion has a man who did that, or even claims to have done that.
Yeah, that is to someone that would want to deal with that honestly. That is pretty significant. it seems like that you're saying that the God who created everything actually became a man and died for our sins. That's pretty profound. Is that what you're saying?
And you know, it is what I'm saying, but it doesn't really matter too much what I'm saying. I'm just telling you that's the claims of the Bible. Mm-hmm. That's the claims of the Scripture. And because I have found the Word of God to be true, it is also my claim to you. But where you should put you need to look at the Scripture yourself, and we can do that together. Maybe at lunch, maybe after work. And I'll show you some Bible verses about this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can see for yourself, and you can decide.
I don't know much about the Bible at all anyway. I mean, you hear different people say different things about it, but I don't know much about it. So, I mean, it seems like a big, gigantic book. I mean, I'm not necessarily too good at reading. Is it something I could still learn or what?
Yes. Yes, you can. I'll help you with it, but it's not complicated, actually. The good news that the Bible presents is actually quite simple. And that good news is that God loves you so much that he did exactly what you needed for you to be made right with him. And all you have to do is just simply believe it. There's nothing else we could do except just believe the good news of what he's done for us. So it's as simple as believing. In the same way that you believe that ladder, when you step up that ladder to pick the fruit, you believe that that ladder is going to hold your weight. That's why you step up on it. In the same way, that simple faith is the way that God will save us. Just like that, when we trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on our personal behalf. And I'll show you those verses. We'll look at the Word of God together, and you'll see that it is not a complicated thing at all. It's for everybody.
Okay. It at least is intriguing. You know, like I say, you seem like a pretty genuine guy, and we'll talk more about that. So, thanks. Appreciate your time. I guess you better get back to picking the fruit before your dad comes out and fires us, right?
Yeah, he gets on me about that. So.
Okay.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you soon. We'll talk real soon, okay?
Sounds good. Yeah. All right. Get ready. Everybody give Nathan a hand there. Okay, good. All right. Any input, any feedback, any thoughts on that little conversation there?
I'd give him an Oscar.
Yeah.
Didn't get
the
contact information, though, John.
I thought we worked together. Didn't we work together?
Yeah, you guys worked together. So I was saying he didn't get your contact information. I guess you didn't need to because you worked together.
That's what I thought. My bad.
That's all right.
That was good. And like you did say, yeah, maybe during the lunch break because, you know, we obviously would presumably have our lunch break together. Yeah, so that's good. Excellent. Good. Willie, go ahead. Any feedback there, Willie?
Well, yeah, John, I'll take a shot if you guys don't mind. Imagine a scenario where you're at a store or something like that, and I observe some people from other religions passing out tracts, and I stopped the guy afterwards. I said, hey, there, I saw you in line, the guy passed you a tract. You might ask you what it's about? Yeah, it's just a religious tract. I said, well, does it mention the name Jesus at all? Yeah, I was talking about some guy named Jesus and eternal life. I said, you mind if I ask you a question about your idea of what life is? And generally, it will be about, you know, the current life that we live now. But my follow-up will be, well, what about, is there such a thing as life after death? The idea of eternal life. You know, we all know that we're going to die one day. But is that it? Is there an issue after that? The Bible says that it is. It's not just life. It's called eternal life. And there's a book called the Bible that tells us how to get it. Wonder if you're interested.
Yeah, good question.
If you are,
he's good.
I can help you with some stuff. You know, scriptures and whatnot. My name is Bill, by the way. And if you're interested, I can help you. I got a few minutes if you do. And the idea about this man named Jesus, by the way, he is a man. And I know you've heard the story. Yeah, he's just a man. Well, you know, I thought the same thing, too. I think most people do. But if you look into the book of the Bible that talks about this man, you learn more. And again, just wanted to be interested. I don't take up too much of your time. But if you're interested in this thing called life and eternal life, there's a book that helps us out with that. It's called the Bible.
That's excellent. And then, like you say, you could get the guy's information.
Yes.
And did everybody see how that went? He's asking non-threatening questions.
Yes.
Good. Excellent. And especially the idea that he got that tract from somebody else and say, hey, what's that about? Excellent. You're looking for the opportunity. That was excellent.
Yeah.
Thanks, Willie. That was excellent. Very good there. Any other feedback on the conversation with Nathan or input there? And then Karen, you'll be up next. Anything else? Okay, Karen, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought Nathan did awesome, actually. He just kept referring them back to the scriptures and that's where his authority came from. I thought it was excellent. I was going to say, when I had Jehovah's Witnesses come to my house and I invited them in, it was really interesting that I kept asking them, you know, I don't know anything about your religion. They said, well, we're Christians too, is what they said. Because I said, I'm Christian. I don't know anything about your religion. And they said, well, we're Christians too. And I said, really? So I was all excited about that. And so they came in. Of course, I had my Bible always on hand. And we sat down together. She's like, oh, you got a Bible. So I would ask questions and they would not give me any specific answers to anything at all. And so I said, well, who do you say that the Lord Jesus Christ is? I didn't know what they believed. I really didn't. And they were, well, he's just a man, that he was a good man kind of thing. So I brought him to all those scriptures that you were talking about, how it, you know, that it shows like the Word was with God, the Word was God. I took them through them. I was really excited reading it to them. And their answer to me, or one of the women's answers to me was, well, we're just not going to agree. So I think it's time for us to go now. Is there any, what would you say in that case? If somebody's just trying to get away, you know, and I was like, and I said, oh, you know, that's too bad. You know, just really, really friendly with them. How would you like have ended that differently?
No, or
just left an open invitation. I said, you guys are more than welcome to come back anytime you'd like to discuss scripture. I don't think they could have left fast enough, though, after that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what they did, they basically said to you, no, we're not interested. So there's at that point, there's really no reason to waste your time. Think about all the different ways how the Apostle Paul conveys the idea of foolish and unlearned questions that, you know, they just gender strife, don't waste your time kind of thing. So what you want to do, the way you did it was exactly what you did. You used the Word of God. Their response to what you read clearly indicated it pricked their heart. That's why they couldn't get out of there fast enough. So you did exactly what was appropriate to do. You opened the scripture, you read the scripture, and you let the scripture do the work. And now it's just kind of in their court, as they say. And so, you did exactly right. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you've been very good. That was excellent. Very good, very good. You just never know when you're going to have an opportunity. And just as ambassadors, we just always want to be prepared ahead of time.
I couldn't agree more about that. I used to work in a prison, and so working in a prison, I got to see a lot of people when they're down.
Yeah.
Right. But I also worked with a lot of, I didn't work with them, but there were a lot of Muslims in prison, and we always seemed to have a debate. Until one day, I go, "Why am I debating? Because all it causes is division." And one day, some Muslim come up to me and asked a question about Jesus Christ and who he was. I said, look, man, obviously, I'm not going to change your mind. You're not going to change mine. You believe what you believe. I believe what I believe. And I walked away. And next time that guy saw me, he had more respect for me, even though he wasn't a believer. But he really didn't think that, oh, man, we're going to sit there, we're going to debate, we're going to go back and forth. And I didn't want to do that because I had learned. And reading to walk away when Paul says about people with false doctrines like that. So, yeah, I think Darren has a good point that you did tell us walk away because some of these people from that have already been, they got it in their mind, it's not going to change. Yeah.
And like I say, Karen, when you open the scripture and you read the verses, that's like God, the Holy Spirit, taking his word now and poking them in their heart. That's exactly what happened. And so it's not you, because you're not the authority, we're not the authority, but his word is. So that's, and then, like you say, okay, they closed the door. They couldn't get out there fast enough. That's fine. You just let them go. You know, so. All right. Well, we will do this more. So next week we're going to talk about the second point there and hopefully some time on the second point and the third point. The second point being his cross work, his death, and especially his resurrection. Let me encourage everyone for next week to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the whole chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, the whole chapter. Especially the Apostle Paul, all the points he makes about the significance not only of bodily resurrection, the fact of it, but in particular, the resurrection of Christ. And we'll talk about that. And then, depending on how far we get in that, then we can get to the third point on there, the uniqueness of Scripture. Nathan, by the way, what you said about the Scripture, that was very good. Just to really emphasize, again, you weren't trying to have to defend it. You were saying this is what it claims to be, you know, so that was excellent. Very, very good. Okay. What you'll find too is that the more you do this, the more you'll kind of feel a little bit more comfortable with letting the conversation be natural instead of mechanical and letting it flow. You're talking to another real human, a person. That's a real person that Christ died for. And all of us were in that condition once. We were lost, and somehow, some way, the gospel got to us. We got saved. So to remember that, you can relate to that person you're talking to, whatever their background was. You might not have the same background, but you remember what it was like before you got saved. You were lost, and it was dark. And then now you're saved, and it's light. And so to kind of remember that when you're talking with that person, that's a real human being. And Christ loved them, Christ died for them, and you see, you know, how often have you heard Pastor Jordan say it this way, that is a potential member, fellow member of the church, the body of Christ. And that really can kind of change your perspective sometimes. If you almost feel kind of threatened in the conversation with that person, you can just decide, okay, no, I'm not going to feel threatened by this person. This is just a person, you know. So... all right, excellent. Very good, very good. So we got some more homework for the next few weeks to go over this, and then we'll go from there. Lisa and Lenny, go ahead. I just saw your hand there. Go ahead.
I wanted to say that Lenny and I created a business card, and we had them printed up. I don't know if you can see this. We called it the Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and we put our name, our phone number, our email on there, and then we put a scripture on the back about Romans 16:25 to hand to people when we talk to them about understanding the dispensation of grace.
Yes.
But we also present the gospel when we can, depending on who it is, who we're talking to. And then Benoit created these cards, Do You Have Eternal Life?
Mm.
And he has English on one side, French on the other. But down here we have a lot of Spanish-speaking people. So friends of ours created one just like this with English on one side, Spanish on the other, and then Benoit put on here, do you have eternal salvation? What must I do? Admit that you're a sinner before God and that you cannot save yourself and go to heaven without the help of our Lord Jesus Christ. A, believe that Christ died for your sins. B, that he was buried and that he rose again. C, that he rose again the third day. That is all. Do not add anything else. And then he put the scripture for 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. So that's something that we sometimes hand out to people, these two cards. And then depending on who it is we talk to, these Bibles, you can get a King James Bible paperback for $5. And if the person's willing to take it, we will hand them a King James Bible. We talked to them about reading Romans through Philemon. We met a man last week at a pawn shop, and he was a believer in Christ.
Mm.
And he did not have read a King James Bible, and I said, I have one in the car. Would you like one? He said, sure. And I said, read Romans through Philemon. I said, it will change your life. And already I quoted Psalms 12, 6, and 7. Thank the Lord, I was able to quote it. But you never know who you're talking to. But these little cards are non-threatening. I've had one person call me, one. But that's just a thought I wanted to pass on.
That's perfect. And by the way, had you not given that card out, then even that call never would have happened.
Yes.
That's wonderful that person called.
It was amazing that young woman called. Yes.
Being equipped. That's fantastic. Thank you, Lisa. Willie, go ahead. You got to unmute yourself there.
Thank you. I just need to ask Brother David Dijon a question, if it's okay, before we close.
Yep.
Brother David, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Are you planning to be in Chicago in about mid-March?
Yeah, I'm preaching at a conference at the Sherwood South.
That's why I ask. When they mentioned your name earlier today, I said, I think I know that guy from the meeting that we're having tonight. So I'm going to make sure. When you go there, be sure to say to them a hello from Brother Bill. They'll certainly recognize who I am. So thank you much. And have a good time.
All right. God bless.
Thank you. Awesome. Fantastic. Very good. All right, everybody. Well, let's have a closing prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time that we can gather this evening for this kind of study, but also kind of working study and breakout session, I guess, as they would say in the secular world, to a time to equip each other and to practice on each other, as it were, and to role play and to realize that this really is being an evangelist, and to just equip ourselves in all the ways possible to share the wonderful message of grace with people who we used to be exactly like, lost. And then someone took the time to come along and explain to us the wonderful, simple plan of salvation. And then you saved us when we believed it. And Father, how exciting that is when we see others pass from death unto life. And Father, we pray, Father, we all pray for every single one of us here today, listening now and then those that will be listening by the recording, that you would really stir up our hearts to be laborers together with you in sharing the gospel with people, and to just trust you to give the increase, and to not worry whether we are the one planting or watering, but just to do it. And then to see you glorified, even just in the process of putting the gospel out there for people. Well, thank you for the fact that you will be glorified and honored through the preaching and teaching of your word. Well, thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.